When the endangered California least tern was discovered nesting at the Alameda Naval Air Station back in the 1970s, a group of concerned community members were mobilized. They formed the Friends of the Alameda Wildlife Refuge to help protect these rare birds. This is Your Wetlands.
The Navy was exceptionally good about taking care of them, and the population thrived under that care. So in the early 1990s, when the Navy was about to close the base, we asked what would happen to the birds, and it seemed like that wasn't a top priority for anybody at that time. And so we asked Fish and Wildlife Service if they would take over lands where the birds nested, or California Fish and Game, or other agencies. And nobody seemed interested in making it a refuge because it's an air base and it was mostly concrete. However, in 1994, sort of as the last swan song for our effort, we put on a symposium at the College of Alameda and had a lot of biologists come in and talk about the value of wildlife at that location in central San Francisco Bay. And we were quite surprised that that symposium inspired so many people that Fish and Wildlife Service did decide that they would take on 579 acres of land and 375 acres of water for a national refuge to protect the least terns and other wildlife that are there, including the brown pelican.
My guest is Leora Feeney, chairperson of the Friends of the Alameda Wildlife Refuge. Leora says that while the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has taken stewardship of the refuge, the land has not been transferred by the Navy due to contamination and cleanup issues. For this reason, the refuge at this point is not accessible to the public. The Friends of the Alameda Wildlife Refuge work together with Fish and Wildlife to manage the site. Leora explains that approximately 80 volunteers take responsibility for maintaining habitat and conducting bird senses.
So we need to weed the place. It's not a very glorious task, but we do it. And that's what we do from September through March, is get the vegetation off the site and clean it up for the following season. That's one of our tasks. This last season, the season in 2007, we developed a new group of people, what we call the Tern Watch Crew. And we set up shifts from sunrise to sunset each day to watch the colony to ensure that we documented as much predation or problems that the least terns were suffering. One of their plights is predation from the air or from the ground. And if there's any predator that begins focusing on the colony, we want to identify it as soon as possible. It doesn't take long for a hawk or a cat to create havoc in a colonial situation like that. So we've been doing that. It was very successful last year, and I think people enjoyed doing it too. We have 3-hour shifts where you go out and just sit and watch and write down what you see. The other element is advocacy. We try to promote the refuge and have nice pictures to show people because we can't take them out there. And we stay on top of all the political issues that might be related to the refuge, you know, whether it's downlisting endangered or threatened species, that sort of thing. So there's that element. We also do educational programs in schools in Alameda.
And despite the challenges and rigor of the work, Leora says the volunteers find an immense amount of satisfaction in doing it.
On this site, you can see the San Mateo Bridge. You can see the Golden Gate Bridge. You can see San Francisco in a way that you can't anywhere else. To our north, we have the Port of Oakland with all those giant cranes that came under the bridge. So the refuge itself is flat, has some grasslands and a few willows and couple of cypress trees, but it's mostly very flat. Mimics a beach, which is what least terns like. And so you can see forever. When we have work parties sometimes in the winter, there'll be a storm in San Jose, and we can watch that storm approach us. And it's kind of an exciting and wonderful thing. There's no place that I can think of in the Bay Area where that's possible except at that site. Aside from that, there's jackrabbits running around. We have red-tailed hawks nesting in view. We have 400 plus pairs of lease terns that return every year and raise young. The nearest major colony is in Southern California, so there's this long gap without any lease terns, and we are at the northern range. We have thousands of pelicans come to our breakwater every summer to roost, and that's a spectacular sight as well.
Leora told me why the California lease tern is particularly captivating among the 23 species of birds that nest here.
The California lease tern is the smallest member of the gull family. Years ago, in Victorian times, they were called sea swallows. They're not much bigger than a swallow. They used to nest on open beaches along the California coast, and as California became inhabited, those nesting sites were disturbed. Also, the turn of the last century, lease terns were lovely little birds that women wore in hats, so there was a big harvest of terns for that reason as well. But the populations diminished, and because they're so fragile on beaches, any kind of disturbance would cause reproductive failure. So they began nesting in weird places like airports, where the public had no access, airports that were built on the coast. And that's how this colony probably developed. It's not a beach. The substrate isn't soft and nice like a beach. It's more like decomposed tarmac that's, you know, got gravel in it. But they started nesting there. The legend is that a Navy commander's wife noticed that there were birds nesting right next to the main runway. And she insisted that they put logs up around that nesting area so vehicles wouldn't drive over the nests. And that was the first effort to protect them. And by 1980, they hired a biologist, a seasonal biologist, to come in and monitor them and make recommendations to protect them. And that was done. And they thrived under that care. And it became this fabulous place. It's really wonderful to watch them. With the lease terns, we have horned lark nesting, and during the last autumn and Christmas bird count locally, it was the only area where the horned larks were seen in a 15-mile radius. So that was disconcerting that horned larks are disappearing, but we were so happy that we had them there. We also have other birds nesting, like loggerhead shrike, which are very few and far between in the Bay Area anymore. And burrowing owls visit us. Another species that's threatened, the northern harriers forage out there. That's a species that's under siege.
And my thanks to Leora Feeney, chair for the Friends of the Alameda Wildlife Refuge. Your Wetlands is a project of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture, and our podcast is supported through grants from Pacific Gas and Electric Company and the California Coastal Conservancy. We'd love to hear from you with your ideas and suggestions for future podcasts. Why don't you write to me, yourwetlands@gmail.com. Again, that email address, yourwetlands@gmail.com. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Jerry Kay.